Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in the British Isles, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, talented, and skillful players of the game. On my right, seated there, is one of Britain's most popular and most original comedians. That is Paul Merton. Always lovely to have him here. And seated beside Paul is someone who's achieved so much in many areas of our national life, and not least, in Just a Minute, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have another very lovable and popular comedian who's also got a reputation for being one of our most outrageous comedians, and that is Julian Clary. And seated beside him, we have a lovely actress, comedian, presenter, and she's all rolled into one, but she's lovely, and that is Lisa Tarbuck. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett. She's going to help me run the stopwatch. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Drill Hall near the West End of London, and we have an exciting audience who've drifted in from the rain outside. Let's start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, a subject here. What my body language is telling you. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
What my body language is telling you is that I'm desperately in love with Clement Freud. I sit next to him whenever we record Just a Minute, just to see his eyes.
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of Just.
Just a minute. Just a minute. Those are the rules, audience. Repetition of a word.
Yes.
And he did repeat it.
I did.
And Clement, you've got in with the correct challenge, a point to you. There are 51 seconds still available. What my body language is telling you, starting now.
What my body language is...
Paul, challenge.
Can I just say I've just gone right off, Clement?
What I often do in this show, I give bonus points for people who give us delightful comments, and that was one well-deserved. Paul, bonus point for you, but Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, 50 seconds available. What my body language is telling you, starting now.
What my body language is telling you is that my affection for Paul Merton has not diminished in any way at all. Also, what my body language is telling you is that I would like a tarte-tatin, which is an upside-down apple cake.
Julian Clary challenged.
Didn't you repeat tartar?
Yes, but that is one word.
Oh, well, it's foreign, isn't it?
It's a French word, which is tart, the French pronunciation. Tart.
Now you're talking my language.
No, no. Clement Freud, you have an incorrect challenge. 35 seconds still. What my body language is telling you is starting now.
With Cornish clotted cream and Austrian Trockenbeeren Auslese, which is an excellent drink to have with almost any dessert, but quite especially the sort of confection which I've described earlier, which obviously...
Paul Merton challenge.
Haven't we drifted a long way from body language?
That's right. Yes. No, I don't really...
Do not read my body language.
Your body language couldn't tell you a complete menu, I don't think, Clement.
I failed.
Paul, I benefit of the doubt. You have the subject. 20 seconds. What my body language is telling you, starting now.
There are people who pretend to be experts in the world of body language. For example, I'm standing here now. In fact, I'm rather sitting down.
Clement Chance.
Yeah, deviation.
He's not standing, he's sitting, yes.
That's right.
But
right.
Then I corrected myself in time.
Yeah. No, not in time.
So the benefit of the doubt to you, though some could say he correct himself, but Paul had the benefit, you got the benefit this time, Clement, you have the subject back, 14 seconds. What my body language is telling you, starting now.
My body language is telling me that I have the benefit of the doubt, as a consequence of which I am going on talking about what my body language is telling you.
Paul, challenge.
There was a slight hesitation there.
There was a slight hesitation, yes. Paul. So you got it back, 5 seconds on what my body language is telling you, starting now.
My body language is telling you each and everyone in this room.
Lisa, challenge.
There was a sort of search for words there, wasn't there? Constituting hesitation.
Yes, I think he saw the whistle go up to Claire Bartlett's mouth.
I can only do one word at a time. Did you you want them all together in one? Blah, blah.
Maybe I just need.
There was a. I think there's a benefit of the doubt to Lisa. We haven't heard from her, and yes. And for you, I know the normal pace at which you speak, Paul, and you were teetering on the hesitation there.
Teetering on hesitation. So I didn't actually hesitate, then I was teetering towards it.
Yeah, which is enough for me to give it to Lisa and say you had the benefit of the doubt,
well, because
Lisa.
It's doubtful in your mind, that doesn't mean anything.
You see, I do have some friends. Lisa, you have half a second on the subject. What my body language is telling you is starting now.
If I was standing here...
So whoever is speaking in this game, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point, and it was Lisa Tarbuck. And so Lisa's got 2 points. She's just behind Paul Merton with 3, Clements and Lee with 4. Julian is yet to score, but it's early days. Julian, the subject is the sales. Tell us something about the sales in just a minute, starting now.
I once slept in a sleeping bag outside Harrods for 3 nights. Nothing to do with the sales, I just fancied the night watchman. Finally, once I got inside, I found a lovely refrigerator, originally priced at £1,495,000. I bought it for 55 pence, but when it was delivered to my luxury home in North London, they couldn't get it through the doorway. So I phoned up Harrods, and I've repeated that now.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Harrods.
And I'm afraid you went to Harrods more than once.
Moment it came out of my mouth.
I know. Paul, a correct challenge. You have the sales. 36 seconds starting now.
As Francis Drake was playing bowls in Plymouth, suddenly a man came up to him and said, the Spanish Armada are on their way. And so he scanned the horizon by placing a hand just below his eyes and saw...
Lisa Challenge.
A slight deviation, I think I'd class it. A hand just below his eyes.
No. To match the horizon. To match the horizon.
I don't think any admiral of the fleet, any admiral of the fleet with any experience are going to see would do that, because you put the hand above in order to shade the sun and the light so that you can see what is on the horizon.
Nicholas, he was drunk.
Is that why he's playing bowls?
That's why he's playing bowls. Right. He should have been down on the sea, but he was playing bowls. He was a bit drunk.
Lisa, you have the subject. I enjoyed the banter. The sales is with you. 25 seconds starting now.
The sales are basically glorified stock removal that lure us into assuming that we're getting a bargain when we're probably not. Buying something that you don't really want at an...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, Paul, so you lose the subject, you get it back again, you get more points, you've got 14 seconds. The sales starting now.
Every January I find myself walking up and down London's West End, looking in the shop windows and wondering what I'm going to purchase in the sales. You can get some tremendous bargains. For example, I once bought a colour television set, and I hope this pace is enough for you, and it was actually £9.95.
Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle when, gained the extra point. He has increased his lead at the end of that round over Clement Freud, Lisa Tarbuck and Julian Clary in that order. Lisa, take the next round, please. The subject is how to get on with your neighbours. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Risking my current neighbour's inflammation, I would say civility and assuming a helpful demeanour is the best way to get on with your neighbours. Trees seemingly lewd...
Julian Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes,
sadly.
I would call that hesitation, Julian. So you have the subject and 50 seconds available. How to get on with your neighbours starting now.
There are a number of different ways, of course, of getting on with your neighbours. I prefer a cheese and wine evening, although it can result in...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He's talking about how to get off with your neighbours.
Is that all you need? Is it cheese and wine? That's all you need.
One of your best, Clement. Yes, very shrewd remark. It certainly deserves a bonus point, but it's a way to get off with your neighbours, but it's certainly also a way to get on with your neighbours. So you can interpret whichever way you like. Julian, you get a point for an interruption, and you carry on with how to get on with your neighbours starting now.
I've no interest in getting off with my neighbours. In fact, the last party I threw was a water and peanuts party to avoid...
Paul Challenge.
A repetition of party.
Yes, you had a party, yes, before. It's 36 seconds available, Paul. How to get on with your neighbours starting now?
Well, of course, you must go across to see them and say, hello, I'm your new neighbour. Do come into the house. And they have a look around and you say, would you like some whiskey or some soda? Perhaps...
Julian Challenge.
Two sums.
Yes.
Yes, with two sums, yeah, a whiskey or some soda. 27 seconds, back with you, Julian. How to get on with your neighbours starting now?
The film Abigail's Party is a typical example of how getting on with the neighbours can go horribly wrong. Heart attacks may ensue, there may be general marital disharmony. So I prefer water and peanuts, which is what I serve out. It's my way of getting on with my neighbours. They can bring their dogs round as well, because I'm very animal friendly, as long as they don't molt or defecate on the carpet.
Paul Challenge.
Are we talking about the dogs or the neighbours at the moment? Because it's two mental images I've got competing. Because that's deviation, that's not getting on with your neighbours.
We enjoyed it so much, Paul, we give you a bonus point. But, Paul, Julian, you were interrupted because we assumed it was the dogs and it wouldn't matter if it was the neighbours. You still...
It wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter in just a minute.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hesitating, repeat himself or deviating. So, 3 seconds, still with you, Julian, on this subject. Starting now.
If they do make a mess, I've got some kitchen roll.
Well, fortunes change in the show. Up until that moment, Julian Clary didn't have any points, even though he'd spoken. But in that round, he got a lot. He's now equal with Clement Freud in second place, just behind Paul Merton and just ahead of Lisa Tarbuck. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is the perfect picnic. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think a perfect picnic is something of an oxymoron, because for me, eating food with sand and flies and mosquitoes, lots of other extraneous animals, also people, makes no fun. I once had a perfect picnic in Dubai, and we went in a truck with tables and chairs and butlers, a kitchen.
Oh, Janice.
Hesitation, sadly, although it's, what sort of picnic is it when you take your own kitchen? Really?
In the desert.
It's hardly one has an idea of a picnic. And anyway, he paused. So, Paul, you've gone in there. The perfect picnic starting now.
The perfect picnic is often the spontaneous picnic when you're walking down the street and suddenly a picnic breaks out. You've got some bottles of lemonade, perhaps some cheese sandwiches you might have bought at a local baker's, and you play a little tablecloth on the grass and you say to yourself, ah!
Clement Challenge.
There are not too many pavements that have grass on them.
You did say pavement.
Did I say pavement?
Yes, definitely. But there's some pavements have grass verges.
Yeah, exactly, so, they do. You're quite right, Nick. Good, very good chairman. Very good chairman. Best chairman we've got.
It's the only chairman you've got.
I didn't want to point that out, but yes.
Again, one has to give it the benefit of the doubt, because I do think that... though you don't get grass on pavements,
there
is possible there could have been some grass around.
Yeah.
So, a benefit of the doubt, but I'll make sure I redress it later on for you, Clement. The perfect picnic, still with you, Paul. 21 seconds, starting now.
Another place, perhaps, the perfect picnic.
Oh, Clement's got in already.
We've had a perhaps before.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Yes, you did. Mm. And so
we haven't had an I suppose yet.
No. I'll make a note of that.
Right. We obviously have some regular fans of the show because they recognise the I suppose, which comes up occasionally with Paul. Right, Clement, it's your turn. You have 18 seconds, the perfect picnic starting now.
If you walk down the coast from Yarmouth via Lowestoft to Southwold, Walberswick and Dunwich, along the beaches of that wonderful...
Paul Challenge.
We did have along the coast and along the beaches as well.
Yes, along the coast.
Repetition, yes.
Mm. Long.
You can wriggle if you like, Clement, but I think Paul's got it with 8 seconds on the perfect picnic starting now.
I like to watch Clement wriggle, and that for me would make the perfect picnic if he was there, perhaps somewhere in the distance.
Oh, yeah. Yes, perhaps. So this is going to be your bogey word for this show, is it? Suppose last time we were in the drill hall, Perhaps this time. Right. 3 seconds with you, Clement. The perfect picnic starting now.
Brown bread, egg and cress sandwiches.
So Clement Freud got the point. Speaker's whistle went, has moved forward. He's still in second place, just ahead of Julian Clare and Lisa Tarbuck, behind Paul. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, hula dancing. I'm sure you know a lot about it, but tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
I have this budgie called Hula, and Hula loves to dance. People come from all over the world to see Hula dancing.
Julian challenged.
I thought he was going to say dance twice, but he didn't.
No, he's not dancing. And you can, I know you don't play the game as often as the others, but you can repeat the words on the card, either as a phrase or individually.
I know.
So Paul, unfortunately, has a point. Well, he doesn't unfortunately, I'm delighted he is, but 53 seconds. Hula dancing, Paul, starting now.
Hula dancing, of course, very popular in Hawaii. You go to any particular Hawaiian and ask them to do a hula dance and they will say to you, yes, of course I will.
Clement challenge.
Of course.
No, he didn't say of course before.
Yes, he did.
Some of the audience think it was. You have a benefit of the doubt. 45 seconds. Hula dancing is with you, starting now.
I don't hula dance a lot anymore because of the shape of my body. This machine, ring, circle, wooden... I would give him the benefit of the doubt.
It inhibited you, having the benefit of the doubt, yes.
I didn't like...
No, I know.
Not being the outright winner.
I had to take it from the audience, that's why. So, Paul, you challenged.
Well, I think it was a bit of deviation. They were just picking words at random towards the end. Through the dictionary at the wall and just read out what they landed on.
So, hula dancing's back with you, Paul. 35 seconds, starting now.
Hula...
Lisa, you challenged.
Hesitation,
Lisa. So, tell us something about hula dancing. And there are 32 seconds available now.
Usually performed by a woman in a straw skirt with floral garlands to hide her bosom and perhaps one in her hair.
Poor challenge.
How will it hide her bosom if it's in her hair?
Oh, she's talking about the garland.
She's a big girl. She's a big girl, Nicholas.
Was that?
She's a big girl, you know.
So give him a point for his laugh. Lisa gets a point because she was interrupted. God. Hula dancing is with you. And there are 22 seconds starting now.
Elvis Presley was a big fan of hula dancing, seen often in his films, undulating hips moving towards some lovely dusky beauty in a dreadful film that required watching on a Sunday afternoon. Fabulous music, little bits of lay hanging hither and thither, which is another word for some sort of flowery string of things that go...
So Lisa Tarbuck was speaking then as the whistle went. Gained that extra point has moved forward. She's still in third place, but not far behind Clement Freud, who's a few points behind our leader, which is Paul Merton, and Julian Clary. Your turn to begin. The subject is respect. So you start now.
Respect was a song by Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-C-T, Find Out What It Means to Me, which has always been one of my favourites. It's also what the brothers and sisters in the street say to each other, but they say respect, missing out the final T. Margaret Thatcher was not particularly respected by the British public, as she found out in the fullness of time, and it's a basic human requirement to be respected by our peers. In 1953... Winston
Oh, poor Zoo challenge. We got a lovely history lesson there and from Julian, but you challenge on what?
It was hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. You tell us something about respect in 28 seconds, starting now.
As Julian says, it's a fundamental human right to be respected by other beings of the same species. I would like to now propose a toast to the great, great...
Oh, it's an impossible game, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Clement, you challenge first. Great, great. And you have a point and you have respect and you have... You've always had respect, but talk about it in this game, starting now.
If you remember the Scout Law, which is... Honour, loyalty, duty, brotherly, courteous, kind. There is nothing about respect, which is sad, because respectfulness, respectability and respect are things which I believe all children should be brought up to observe.
So Clement Freud speaking as a whistle Wayne gained the extra point. He's moved forward. He's in his second place behind Paul Merton. And Lisa, it's your turn to begin. What I love about buses. Are you a bus fan or not?
I am. I'm a regular user.
Oh, good. Well, that is the subject. A moment to think about it. If you like buses, it'll be easier perhaps. 60 seconds now, starting now.
There's nothing I like better than hopping off and on a London bus, particularly those ones that make it easy because their back is open, usually found in London, and it is rumoured that they want to ban them. But enough of that. I don't like the enclosed ones. So I get on this open bus, I nip up to the top and down to the front, and I'm banking on a clean window, but it's very rare that London Transport have actually taken...
Clement Challenge.
London,
London buses at the beginning and now London Transport. Right, Clement, a correct challenge. 37 seconds, what I love about buses, starting now.
I don't really have a lot to say, but what I love about buses is their colour and their numbers.
Paul challenged.
A natural stop.
A natural stop, which we call hesitation. 30 seconds, Paul. What I love about buses, starting now.
I love London buses so much because you can go along and see Clement jumping on and off them.
Julian, you challenged.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation, yes. A stumble over words, we call it hesitation. 25 seconds with you, Julian. What I love about buses, starting now.
What I love about buses is they transport the general public from one stop to another and keep them safe and warm and dry, and I hop on them occasionally in order to overhear the people talking. I once, on a bus, heard a woman say, "I've got three children and a husband on a machine." Her friend said, "Stop dribbling, Shirley," which amused me no end. I rushed home to my parents and said, "You'll never believe what I heard on the bus."
So Julian Carey was speaking as a whistle when gained the extra point. He's equal with Lisa Tarbuck in third place behind Clement Freud and then Paul Merton in the lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. A soft touch. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A soft touch is someone who is gullible and will lend you money if you ask and possibly if you don't. That's the great thing about being a soft touch. Also, of course, it is the hand or perhaps foot or other extremity of the body of someone else touching you. Isn't that...
I think you drifted onto the mist of memory there.
I was...
You just came to a halt. Well, I'm glad you've got such lovely memories, Clement. Lisa, you challenged first.
I did, because
hesitation,
yes. Because he was thinking about it. And who can blame you?
A soft touch is with you, Lisa, and 36 seconds available starting now.
I've got a nephew who's at that particularly difficult age where hormones have hit. So I find a folded-up tenner handed over in a slightly sweaty handshake makes me a very popular auntie, or in fact, a soft touch. Salt washes also make you have a soft touch. If you put the salt on before you go in...
Paul challenge.
Repetition of salt.
Yes, salt washes and salt again. So, Paul, you've got in with 16 seconds on a soft touch starting now.
Show business people are often approached by other folk stage doors who think that you have loads of money and say, "Will you please sponsor me to ride around the Arctic Circle on the back of a double-decker bus that's leaving Piccadilly Circus in about 20 minutes? I say..."
Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is yin and yang. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, opposites attract, is what they say. For example, if an iceberg was to float into the middle of this room now, I think we'd all be very happy because the overall temperature is extremely high. It is hot in here at the moment. So something that was made of some icy substance coming in towards us, we would say, "Ah, we will welcome this, we will embrace it. We shall," that's four we's, "we shall walk together with this iceberg down Oxford Circus," and people will come up to us and they say, "Why are you doing what you're doing?" And I'm saying, "I am doing this because..."
Lisa challenged.
Doing.
Two doings, yes, I'm afraid.
Doings and wheeze.
And we were doing...
Yes.
There are 30 seconds still available on yin and yang, and it's with you, Lisa, starting now.
Yin and yang are the complementary principles of Chinese philosophy, I'm led to believe. Yin is dark and feminine. Yang is bright and masculine. Together, they interact and maintain harmony of the universe and everything within it. Some of the organs of the body have, in fact, got yin or yang elements. For example, your kidneys are yang. So if you were to have a transplant, it would be apt to suggest that somebody else's donor organs would be of the same...
Right.
Who'd have thought it?
Lisa Parbuck was speaking then as the whistle went and gained that extra point, and she's moved forward. She's in a strong third place now behind Clement Freud, and we're moving into the last round. Before we can move into the last round, let me tell you what the situation is. Paul's in a strong lead. He's quite a few points ahead of Clement Freud, and then just behind him is Lisa Tarbuck, and just behind her is Julian Clary. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is tidying my drawers. 60 seconds, starting now.
Tidying my drawers is something I do every spring. I've got a number of them to choose from. There's a cutlery drawer. There's a knick-knack drawer, which is most exciting amongst all of them. Inside there is all sorts of bits and bobs, which I'm not going to discuss in public on Radio 4. There's another special extra-large drawer on ground level where the saucepans are kept. That's in need of a wipe as we speak, and I'm embarrassed to be discussing it in front of you. Above that is the serviette drawer, which I'm very particular about. They're all ironed and folded, neatly packaged, ready for when my visitors come round. They may be wanting to eat, but on the other hand, they may require to look inside my drawers, if you know what I'm saying. There's a double meaning in most of my sentences, which you haven't always picked up on thus far. Upstairs, the drawers are many and splendid. In the guest bedroom, they're mostly empty, but there's a...
Right. Well, the audience appreciated your ability there, Julian, because first time it's happened for quite a while, someone starting with a subject and finishing it, not being challenged, no hesitation, repetition or deviation. And you have leapt forward, but you're still in third place with Lisa Tarbuck. I know, but it doesn't matter. It's the quality we get. It doesn't matter about the points, does it? So let me give you the final score. Julian Clary and Lisa Tarbuck finished just in third place, 2 or 3 points behind Clement Freud, and he was a few points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week you are our winner. It only remains for me to say... thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Lisa Tarbuck, and Clement Freud. I think Claire Bartlett, who's blown her whistle for me so delicately. We thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here. We're indebted to you. Thank you from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.